but that's the old me. Out in out of my window, drove down.
Yeah, 92.3 and AM 1620. No, your ears are not deceiving you. You are not hearing the sound of FSU losing yet another football game, although you will hear that in about 30 minutes. But it is us. We're back. It's Let's Go Pensacola. I'm your host, Julio Diaz. It's been a little bit since we've been on, as we have been preempted by FSU football. There is an FSU football game coming on in half an hour, so it's going to be a short show this week. But during that short amount of time that we have, we're going to try to bring you up to date on everything we can in the world of entertainment and pop culture. And joining me to do so, as he does so very often on this show, please welcome from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube, Jeremy Brandt. Yeah.
I'm excited to be back. Thanks for having me. With these truncated schedules due to football, we kind of got to pick our lane, jump in when we can, and discuss a couple of the things that are going on in the world of pop culture. We do have some exciting stuff coming up in the next segment. But over the last weekend, I was in Orlando. Absolutely love Orlando. But since I've gotten back, I've been thinking about this thing, and nobody seems as interested in it as I am. So I've got to get you to weigh in on this. What are your thoughts on SeaWorld?
I'm kind of torn on the whole SeaWorld thing. You know, I mean, I do think it's some of the practices have been kind of exploitative, as we've seen in, you know, various documentaries that have been done over the years. I don't think that some of the animals are as well treated as they maybe could be. I think when they're forced to perform and things like that, it gets a little problematic. But there are parts of the park, it's been ages since the last time I've been, that, you know, lean into the more traditional aquarium habitat kind of stuff. And I'm good with that kind of thing. I think that there's a lot to be learned from those kinds of experiences. And then, you know, of course, SeaWorld over the past however many years has become more of an adventure park than, you know, than it, when it started out, it was mainly focused on, hey, here, come see sea life. And we've got these, you know, the shows with the dolphins and the killer whales and, you know, the most like out of the box thing they had was like water ski shows.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, I shout out to when I was a kid, when they had the DC comic superheroes water ski show.
Oh, that's
that
fun.
Was, as far as I was concerned, when I was, you know, a little kid, was just the most freaking amazing thing I'd ever seen.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so, yeah. They had the whole thing. They used to advertise it on the back cover of the comics, too. You know, so if you go back
and
look at some of the comics that era, you'll see, you know, ads for that. But, yeah, it was, you know, they had, you know, all your main ones. You had Superman, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Supergirl, Batgirl. I think Green Lantern and Flash too, and then and Black Canary was there too, and then you know, some of the villains, and you know, it'd have this big, you know, water ski stunt show that was themed around superheroes.
So you brought up a lot of the kind of key points that I've been considering, because on one hand I've seen Blackfish and you see these giant magnificent orcas and you're like, they're way too big for these little tanks. This is kind of wrong. But then are the orcas like orca Jesuses? And let me elaborate on this. if it takes five orcas in captivity to inspire a generation of people to get into environmentalism, is it for the greater good? Because there are conversations to be had about seeing orcas in their natural habitat, which still kind of involves disrupting their ecosystem by bringing in these tour boats and getting way too close to them and all of that kind of stuff. So like, is five orcas serving as almost like the bridge between never seeing them and then connecting with them on a deep emotional level for young kids? Do you think that there's like a trade-off, that there's an ethical question to be made about whether it's actually right or wrong?
I don't know, man. I mean, we've got documentaries. You know, there's crews,
yeah,
there's crews that can go out and shoot undersea without messing with the sea life and still get. I recognize there's something different about seeing it in person, but I don't know, man. That's a tough call, and I don't know that I'm the one to make that call.
I wept when I was at the orca show. One, because they're so magnificent and beautiful, and to see them like that is just like a overwhelming experience. And then the other half of it is just like, this is so wrong. They don't belong here. And then, but to also see the faces on kids and the way that it impacts them in a way that, I don't know, man, when you can see Iron Man on the same TV as orca, does it demystify them? So this is what I've been thinking. And obviously there's no right or wrong answer about it, but if you're listening to this right now and you have a strong take on it, let us know one way or the other. I'd be kind of curious to see if my point has swayed anybody's way of thinking on it, or if there's just no question about it.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a tough call, and I don't know that I am the right person to make that call. I you know, I'm certainly not a marine biologist.
No.
You know, anybody that has any kind of level of expertise. So it's just like a gut feeling to me. And, you know, we're not just talking about the killer whales here. You know, we're talking about things like dolphins. And
then where does that line end where it does become okay? Because you're right. It's the dolphins, and then it's the sea lions, and then it's the, I mean, none of those animals should probably be there.
Yeah, I mean, you can get into a whole ethical argument about, you know, zoos and aquariums in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they can serve a purpose, both in terms of education to humans and in terms of helping the animals. You know, let's be honest, there's a lot of animal species that are at or near extinction that, you know, zoos and breeding programs are what's keeping them alive.
Good point.
You know, so I think that I'm pretty much okay with a zoo when it's like the whole like natural habitat kind of situation, and they have, you know, places to roam, and they're not forced to be on display all day, and they, you know, they've got places to hide if they want to get away from the audience and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get that that's kind of frustrating as a person that's going to the zoo. You know, you want to go there, you want to see the animals, but, you know, sometimes the animals don't want to be seen. And think about how you'd feel if somebody was, you know, up in your face 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's no real difference. I think that, you know, generally speaking, I think our local zoos in the area do a pretty good job with that kind of stuff. You know, both the zoo in Gulf Breeze and the zoo over in Orange Beach or Gulf Shores. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure which it's in. I think it's Gulf Shores, actually. They do a nice job. I've gotten to go to, you know, over the past couple of years, I've been to like the San Diego Zoo, which is one of the top zoos in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the habitats there are amazing. And those animals aren't like being forced to perform.
Yeah, that is a big difference too. That's a good distinction to make.
Yeah. And, you know, we went earlier this year to there's a wolf preserve up in like near Ponce de Leon, but I can't remember which city it's in, which town it's in. But you know, we went and checked that out, and you know, it's pretty amazing, and you get to interact with the animals, but they're, you know, it's on their terms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's their habitat, and you know everything is about caring for them. And I'm a lot more down with something like that than I am, you know, oh, now we're going to make them do tricks for you.
Yeah. I get it. That's valid.
Yeah. You know, out in nature, you know, Shamu ain't jumping, you know, through the air with somebody clinging to his back to get a fish.
How much of this directly ties back to the movie Free Willy? I have to wonder.
I mean, that's a factor, but I think that's actually a better, you know, a better choice in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, especially with, you're talking about the message of that movie. Of course, then they went and made two more of them. So.
Yeah. And used whales in them, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, in the end, there's always going to be people that are going to exploit any situation they can for capitalistic gain.
Of course. Welcome to America.
We can have a debate on, you know, the goods and the evils of that, but, yeah, I don't really want to talk about politics right now, to be completely honest. So we're going to take a break.
Oh, man, something happened lately?
Not much. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube. Jeremy, I have just revised my opinion of Chapel Roan downward. I'm sorry to say. And we're bringing up Chapel Roan because that was her song there, Good Luck Babe, one of her many, many hit songs off of her big album, which was just nominated for a bunch of Grammys on Friday. Watching the lyric video for that song. Dude, this is the official lyric video. The words are in Comic Sans.
Oh no.
I just can't. I just can't with that.
It's anti-design. It's the new design.
I guess so. I'm mostly being sarcastic, but there's no excuse for Comic Sans. Let's just be honest here. But yeah, we've got the Grammy nominations out, and I thought, you know, since it's like big breaking news, more or less, that we'd kind of go through the big four categories, which are Album of the Year, Song of the Year, Record of the Year, and Best New Artist, and just kind of talk a little bit about the nominees. I know that we've got, there's a lot of shows that we haven't caught up in, movies and whatnot, while we've been off the air for FSU purporting to play football, but apparently not really, just getting out there and getting their butts kicked, and as they're probably about to do again in about 10 minutes or so. But we'll catch up next week. They've got a bye, so next week, instead of just pretending to not play football, they're actually not playing football. So we'll have some more time to talk next week, and we'll get into some of that. But just real quick. Start with Best New Artist, I think is the place to go. Benson Boone, Sabrina Carpenter, Doechii, Krugabin, I think I'm pronouncing that, Krugabin. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right at all. Don't know who that is. Ray, mm-mm. Chapel Roan, Shaboozey, and Teddy Swims are the nominees. I will be honest with you. I think of myself as somebody who's pretty tied into music. I have not heard of probably half of those.
Yeah, same.
And then we get, let's be honest here, all right? The race is between Chapel Roan and Sabrina Carpenter.
But you brought up something interesting when we were talking about this regarding Sabrina Carpenter.
Well, yeah, and that's part of why I bring it up now, because I want to say Sabrina Carpenter is nominated for Best New Artist. Now, she's a very young woman, and yeah, she's made her big commercial breakthrough with this this current album, and I like her stuff, actually. I like her. I like her songs. I think she's a good performer. Not saying this to knock on her, but this is her sixth album. And it's not even like this was her first top 40 single off of this album. Like, I can see, like, I know they changed the rules a while back, and it was, you know, it was made to be for the first commercial, the first major impact of the artist. And yeah, that's a very gray area, and you can judge, you know, whether or not, but you back in the day before they changed those rules, when Whitney Houston's first album came out and she was undeniably like the biggest new artist around, they disqualified her because she'd done like a couple of duets with Jermaine Jackson before that. Nothing that was even nothing that was a single or a hit or anything. But they disqualified her. And yeah, they've eased up on those rules over the years. I remember Green Day getting this nomination when Dookie came out. And of course, Green Day had two albums and a bunch of singles before that. But, you know, they hadn't really broken through to the mainstream. Sabrina Carpenter has had a top 20 single before this.
I've known who she was for years, and obviously she was a child star as well, but I feel like this is a stretch, and that's why I'm going with, and just also, just judging by the online reaction, Chapel Roan deserves this award. I think she's an incredible artist, and I think she's made a huge impact considering she really actually is a new artist.
I agree, and I think she'll probably win, and I'm not trying to minimize the impact of Sabrina Carpenter. This was like her big breakthrough. And while she did have a top 20 single before this, I knew she existed, but I couldn't tell you what any of those songs sounded like. Now, you know, I could sit here, I'm not going to subject you to it, but I could sit here and sing Espresso or Please, Please, Please to you right now.
Patreon exclusive.
Yeah, yeah. the people will pay for me to not do that on Patreon. Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. But same thing with Chaperone. You know, I've actually become a big fan of her music. That song that we played, and I played that, picked that one in particular because that's the one that's getting a lot of nominations. I don't even think that's close to her best song.
Uh-uh.
Like, not even remotely. So, you know, I do think she's a great artist. I do have a little bit of a concern that I'm going to bring up in here. I'm starting to get annoyed by her fans.
Oh, they're the worst.
In the same way that I get annoyed by, like, Jeremy, you can call me out for this. I know you're going to, but it's okay. I don't mean you when I say this.
Go ahead.
But Radiohead fans.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
It's these people that, like, this artist is God, and anybody that doesn't see that is wrong. And I actually got into a little bit of an online debate with somebody, and all people of all places, in a They Might Be Giants group, like on They Might Be Giants official page, like they posted tour dates. I was like, oh, tour dates, and looking, and somebody comes on there and says, you know, Chapel Roan says she's your favorite artist. So I'm just wondering, is that true? Is she your favorite artist? And I'm like, these are dudes in their 60s. They grew up on the Beatles. Yeah, yeah. Their favorite artist is not Chapel Roan. She's great. But no, that she, and when she said that, which she said it at Coachella, she said it A, tongue in cheek, B, making a reference to something that happened on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
She wasn't serious about it. And there are lots of art, and I do think that, and I even said, look, I'm not taking anything away from Chapel. I do think she might be that for a lot of younger artists. Like, if you're talking about artists that are like 30 and under, or even maybe 35 and under, she might very well be the favorite artist of a lot of artists that are that young. But when you're talking about older artists that have been around for a long time, I'm skeptical.
Like, They Might Be Giants, for
yeah,
example.
Yeah, and so, you know, there was some back and forth there, and I eventually said, okay, you know what, I shouldn't be arguing with strangers on the internet anyway, so.
You know what, I'm blocking you.
But, you know, I like her a lot, but I'm starting to get concerned about that fan base, and my solution to that is just tuning it out and just listening to the music.
So, yeah.
So, and that's probably what I should have done with Radiohead, too, in fairness. But, you know, it's fine. We'll move on to Song of the Year, this is the award for the songwriter. So I'm going to mention the artist here. The artist may or may not have been a songwriter or may have been the co-songwriter on the song, whatever. But we've got a bar song, Tipsy by Shaboozey, Birds of a Feather, Billie Eilish, Die with a Smile, Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars, Fortnite, Taylor Swift featuring Post Malone, Good Luck, Babe, Chapel Roan, the song we just heard, Not Like Us, Kendrick Lamar, Please, 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 Sabrina Carpenter, and Texas Hold'em, Beyonce. So you got some
Kendrick, Not Like Us has got it. Songwriter and performer. Let's go.
Well, you got some real heavy hitters in this category because Taylor Swift has more Album of the Year Grammys than anybody in history.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce has more Grammys, period, than anybody in history.
Mm-hmm.
And Billie Eilish has taken home quite a number of these, too, and also I think, like, what is she, like 23 or something like that?
Unreal.
Has won 2 Oscars already.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's some pretty fierce competition. Now, the flip side of that is Kendrick's the only hip-hop artist in here. That might, well, I don't know, Shaboozey is more like country, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that might swing the other way, but if you have a big momentum for somebody like Chapel Roan, there's a lot of ways this could go. So, I'm not ready to make a pick on that yet.
See what happens. I'm going Not Like Us.
Album of the Year, which was the Prestige Award for a lot. Now, I think we've gone back to Record of the Year being the Prestige Award now because we're in more of a singles economy again with streaming these days. So we'll go to Album of the Year first. New Blue Sun, Andre 3000, that flute album that he made earlier this year that caused a brief sensation. Cowboy Carter, Beyonce, Short and Sweet, Sabrina Carpenter, Brat, Charlie XCX, DeJesse Volume 4 by Jacob Collier, Hit Me Hard and Soft, Billie Eilish, Rise and Fall of Midwest Princess, Chapel Roan, and Tortured Poets Department, Taylor Swift. Beyonce's never won Album of the Year despite having more Grammys than anybody else. And this was like the big deal where she made the country album. So there's that. Taylor Swift has more Album of the Year Grammys than anybody in history. She's got four. Dethroned Stevie Wonder and Frank Sinatra when she did that, by the way, and Paul Simon. So, yeah, I mean, you know, that's a big deal too. But I don't know, man. I think that might be Chapel Roan's award right there.
And I don't have strong feelings on this. We talked a second beforehand. It's hard to bet against Taylor Swift. I like your pick, though. I think I will co-sign that. I'll go Chapel Roan as well.
And then last but not least, what I think is probably the major award now, which is Record of the Year. This is for the single, like I said, the one song. Now and Then, The Beatles, Texas Hold'em, Beyonce, Espresso, Sabrina Carpenter, 360, Charlie XCX, Birds of a Feather, Billie Eilish, Not Like Us, Kendrick Lamar, Good Luck, Babe, Chapel Roan, Fortnite, Taylor Swift featuring Post Malone. Now, I think there's a couple things that I want to mention in here before we get into any kind of picks. There was a Beatles single this year. Did you know
what?
That? Because I'd forgotten.
No, not before.
Yeah, and it's that kind of thing, like a year or two ago, ABBA released a single, and all of a sudden, you know, that got nominated. Could I sing it for you? No. I think it's interesting that Espresso gets nominated for record, but Please, Please, Please gets nominated for song. I think Espresso is a better record. 360 is not the Charlie XCX song that I feel like is getting attention off of that album. You've got Apple and you've got Guess that I think are getting a lot more attention. And Birds of a Feather, yeah, okay. But, you know, Lunch, I think, maybe got more attention for Billie Eilish.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some interesting picks in there. Do you have, we're running quickly out of time. Do you have a pick?
Yeah, strong feelings about Kendrick Lamar, Not Like Us, for Record of the Year.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. We got to run so FSU can lose a football game. We'll talk to you next week. Until then, you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.